Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, David Branch for the appellant. The issue in this appeal is whether a Privacy Act claim filed by a federal employee which alleges an injury is precluded by the Federal Employees Compensation Act, or commonly known as FECA. The District Court dismissed for lack of subject matter jurisdiction this Privacy Act claim filed by Ms. Scott and held that if an injury is covered by FECA, the U.S. has no other liability to the employee for that injury. The District Court's decision was an error because, first, a Privacy Act violation cannot be covered by FECA. The Privacy Act statute provides exclusive jurisdiction in the federal courts for Privacy Act violations. FECA does not apply to the disclosure of confidential personnel information and was never intended to apply to the disclosure of confidential personnel information. Further, FECA was not intended to cover intentional injuries such as the violation here that occurred with this Privacy Act violation. FECA and the Privacy Act have two distinct purposes. FECA addresses accidental injuries or injuries in the workplace, and the Privacy Act safeguards the public from unwanted dissemination of personnel or personal information. So we believe the District Court's decision was an error. The District Court.
May I ask you a question about the injury?
Yes, Your Honor, of course.
The plaintiff's injury is what?
The plaintiff's injury is the dissemination of this personnel information, of the personal information.
To her fellow workers, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. Not only the dissemination of the information, it was the posting of this information on a bulletin board.
But isn't the injury specifically, as I read your papers, the dissemination to the fellow workers?
It's the dissemination of this posting of this information and then the refusal to remove this information.
No, if I read your injury, it was the dissemination of the public work to her fellow workers.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And isn't that precisely the injury that the FECA focused on?
No, Your Honor. The FECA, there was a reference in the board's decision.
No, even if we were inclined to agree with you that this is a collateral matter not necessarily covered by FECA, in this case, the injury is precisely the same as it would be under FECA. In other words, the injury in both cases, in both theories, was the impact on the fellow workers.
No, Your Honor, I think the distinction is the injury that was considered by the Workers' Compensation Board was the emotional damages aspect of her, which followed this initial injury. I think
emotional damage caused by the dissemination of the fellow workers.
Your Honor, I think the problem is that there's a distinction between the harm and the injury.
You need to have injury under the Privacy Act also, right? To collect anything.
Your Honor, you do need,
excuse me, before you advance, you said there's a distinction between the harm and the injury?
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, the injury in the sense of under FECA is a very specific item. There's a definition under FECA for injury, which includes injury by accident or some other type of injury, as opposed to a harm that's caused by a Privacy Act violation. And I think that's where the confusion comes with this. In Spinelli, the court said that if an injury, if an injury is covered, if an injury is covered by FECA, the U.S. has no other liability to the employee for that injury. That was the injury in the sense of the definition of injury under FECA, not generally an injury, as the district court seemed to say here. The district court considered injury in a general sense rather than the narrow sense of the definition of injury included in FECA.
What I'm not following is what's the difference between the injury that was covered by FECA or arguably covered by FECA, namely the consequences of the teasing and the harassment, and the injury that you're saying arose purely out of the posting. Is that the difference? Is there a difference between those?
There is a difference
and
between.
What is the injury that arose purely out of the posting?
Well, first, there is injury to, I assume you could say, the type of injury that would flow from any type of dissemination of confidential information.
What kind of injury is
Well, injury to her person.
What kind of injury? No, the reason I asked the other question, in Doe versus Chow, the Supreme Court said you have to actually prove actual damages in order to collect. Now, I understand in a normal Privacy Act suit, or maybe one even where you haven't gone FICA first, the kind of damages that would come from posting would be teasing, harassment, harm to reputation, et cetera. But you've already made those arguments in front of the Labor Department board. What other damage are you talking about that wasn't covered?
But there is a measure of damages that would be available to the plaintiff just for having this personal private information disclosed. That's a violation of the Privacy Act.
It is a violation, but Doe says the violation's not enough. You have to prove damage. If it automatically flowed from the posting, then there would be no reason to have the Doe case, because then there would always be damages in Privacy Act cases. So I have to ask again, what is the damage that's different than the damage that was considered by the Labor Board?
Well, Your Honor, I think that there's a different standard before the Labor Board in terms of deciding, and I just read back through the Labor Board's decision. And this is at the Joint Appendix at page 17 in the middle paragraph that begins with, although the office accepted that appellant's co-workers teased her on January 10, 2003 as a posted injury list noted her psychiatric condition. Just a little farther down, it says, administrative functions of the employer, such as the handling of personnel records, are not considered to be within the performance of duty, error, or abuse in carrying out such functions of the employer, may constitute a compensable factor in factor of employment under the Act. I think that there is a different standard when this is evaluated by the Office of Workers' Compensation, this board, than the court would apply.
It's the same injury, same damage, but evaluated differently.
Your Honor, I believe that I don't want to concede that it is the same injury.
I'm asking you to concede. I'm asking you to tell me.
Well, I think my position is I don't think that it is the same injury that was considered by this board.
I don't see how you can. I wish you'd explain why it's a different injury. You slip into a position in which you seem to suggest there's injury simply by virtue of the act without regard to damage. But that can't be in light of the Supreme Court case. So we have to look at the alleged injury. And the alleged injury from the Privacy Act violation looks exactly the same as the alleged injury with respect to the Labor Department's proceeding. So I'm finding it very difficult to see any distinction.
Well, Your Honor, I guess I would have to come back to that point. But, I mean, I think that I understand the court's question, and the court seems to be saying if she received before FICA or before the Office of Workers' Compensation what she would have received with the district court considering it, then...
Or didn't receive, either way. In other words, if they had concluded that they denied her claim, and it's the same injury,
but
then
the,
you're precluded. Even though, perhaps Judge Garland joins me in being somewhat dubious about the breadth of the government's argument here. But in your particular case, it's hard to make the collateral argument because your injuries are the same.
Well, Your Honor, the Privacy Act provides exclusive jurisdiction in the district courts for consideration.
Does it say exclusive? I was interested when you said that. It does say jurisdiction.
It does not provide jurisdiction for any other form for Privacy Act violations.
Right. Another statute could provide jurisdiction. If it said exclusive jurisdiction, that would really mess this up in a very interesting way. Even saying jurisdiction messes things up in an interesting way. But if there's the word exclusive, that would be even more interesting. I couldn't find that word in there, though.
It says an action to enforce any liability created under this section may be brought in the district court for the United States in the district in which the complainant resides or has principal place of business, or in the District of Columbia. Okay. It does not provide any other form for consideration or review of a Privacy Act claim. Your Honor, we believe that the court's decision in Doe v. U.S. Postal Service, which did not specifically hold that the Privacy Act claim was could be pursued, well, in Doe, the postal employee alleged a violation of the Privacy Act for the dissemination of medical information. It's not directly on point, but the court did not hold in that case that the Privacy Act claim was precluded by FECA, as the district court held here.
Mr. Branch, you're over your time. We'll give you some time for rebuttal anyway.
Thank you.
We can hear from the government. If you don't mind, I have some questions about the scope of the act overall. I understand your arguments in the brief,
yes,
but I have some.
Good morning. Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning. You can say good morning. That's okay. I'm sorry to start off right from the beginning, but since you have a limited amount of time, I thought it would be helpful. So let me put it out, and then I'll explain why. It seems from the wording of FECA and from the quite specific legislative history of FECA that FECA is a statute about accidental injury in the workplace. And it supplants statutes like the Federal Tort Claims Act and other workmen's compensation acts, but it does not seem to be a statute about that about non-accidental injury, and not one about the kinds of injuries that occur with respect to the Privacy Act. And the government's position seems to be that it covers everything. Any kind of injury in the workplace, whether accidental or not, whether related to torts or not. And I don't understand how that jibes with the words of the statute. The statute defines injury as includes, in addition to injury by accident, a disease proximately caused by the employment. And then when it talks about somebody being entitled to benefits, it's for injury under this statute. How does this end up being an accident?
To answer your point directly, Your Honor,
yes.
Looking at the wording of the definition of injury, the wording is, as you read, is injury includes in addition to injury by accident. So
Then it says what the other thing is.
Yeah,
in addition to injury by accident, a disease proximately caused, and then a lot of stuff that's worse for you, damage or destruction of medical braces, artificial limbs, none of which sounds like, you know, posting somebody's personal data on a board.
But what appellant is claiming precisely is a disease proximate to the workplace.
Really? That's why you think this is a disease? Harassment, teasing by your fellows is a disease?
Of course, it's not what I think, Your Honor. Oh. It's what the plaintiff claims. She claimed in her complaint that she suffered mental anguish, and as a result of that, she suffered a mental disease that she needed treatment for as a result of her time at the workplace. These are the words of the plaintiff.
So if she had only said, they teased me and that hurt me, but I didn't end up with a mental problem as a consequence, she could have recovered?
I think, well, if I understand the question correctly,
could she have recovered in court? If she had.
Oh, I understand. Okay. Recovery in court will mean that the FECA, the Federal Employment Claims Act, does not apply.
Yeah.
Compensation Act, excuse me.
That
would not apply, and that she would be able to recover in court.
Yeah.
The idea being is that if she did not suffer an injury as defined in the statute, and it wasn't in the workplace.
No, if it was in the workplace.
Maybe
I better ask
here,
the board.
Let me try this hypothetical.
Yeah.
Suppose her supervisor had posted on the board that it is my opinion that the plaintiff is a thief. Watching her over some years, I've determined she's a thief.
Yes.
Does she have a right of action outside of FECA? She doesn't make any claim of self-distress or emotional distress.
Right.
She said this is a flat-out libel.
Yes.
There need- I, I may even have a constitutional right to a name clearing hearing.
Right.
Are you saying there's no right of action?
Under the context of how you describe the scenario, without an injury, FECA does not apply. Okay, there needs to be an injury.
Well, the injury would be an injury defamation. It's certainly an injury, but it's not the kind of injury that sounds like it's covered under FECA. So are you suggesting, you're agreeing under that circumstance, that the individual would be not bound by FECA?
Well, we will need to know more, but just on the
just on those
facts. On the words that you've provided, assuming that there is no allegation of mental stress or disease or physical harm, just on those words alone, I don't think that that would fall under the definition of FECA, and therefore she would be able to move forward with the claim.
Your brief sounded stronger than that. Your brief seemed to suggest that the Labor Department took jurisdiction over even deciding it wasn't covered, it was somehow precluded from cause of action in federal court. But perhaps I missed it.
No, well, I think the point in our brief was that once the Secretary of Labor decides that FECA applies, then there is a preclusive effect.
Yes, but does that mean we can't review that?
In terms of whether or not...
Suppose if the Secretary of Labor, in my hypothetical, had said, that's covered under FECA, but no injury, therefore no liability.
Of course.
Yes. Would that mean that the individual would not be able to come to private federal court or other kinds of court?
Of course, that's not this case, Your Honor. But
so you know that's not a good answer.
I understand. I wanted to make sure that we understood we don't need to get to that.
We understand.
But
we're going to ask you a bunch of hypotheticals now that are not this case. But we still want to know where you come out.
I have to warn you that many years ago when Judge Scalia was sitting here, and some counsel, and he asked a hypothetical, and counsel said that's not this case. He threw the brief at him.
We won't do that, I promise.
I appreciate your restraint, Your Honor. To get to the point of your question, Your Honor, once the Secretary of Labor determines the law and the facts surrounding the injury, that it has a preclusive effect on the jurisdiction of district court. And
so even if the Secretary of Labor decides that something is an injury that it is not, accidental and is not a disease, court can't review that?
I think the answer is no in a direct sense, but in other senses, in other directions, the person who was injured could have other claims with regard to questioning the rationale of the Secretary of Labor dealing with constitutional issues, which are outside.
We're talking about a constitutional issue.
I understand, Your Honor.
Well, let me be more direct. What about Title VII?
Yes,
so let's say you're an employee of the government and you are not promoted because of your race.
Yes.
Okay? And you bring a FECA claim, and the Department of Labor says, well, that's discrimination. And you say, that's an accidental injury. That's an injury under FECA. Is employee precluded from bringing Title VII cases? Bring a Title VII case?
With regard to Title VII,
yes.
FECA does not preclude Title VII any more than it precludes the Federal Tort Claims Act.
I thought it does preclude.
Well, it precludes it in the same instance, but the idea is with the Federal Tort Claims Act, there is a preclusive effect there. With Title VII, however, we have jurisprudence that talks about Title VII being the exclusive remedy for workplace discrimination. With the Federal Tort Claims Act.
The government agrees then that FECA has no impact on Title VII?
We do agree with that.
That include hostile workplace, hostile environment cases?
I think.
If the employee says there's a hostile environment in this government workplace based on my race or my gender, et cetera, and as a consequence I've been constantly harassed, and I have it's caused me to go to the doctor. This harassment is so great that it's caused me to go to the doctor. FECA doesn't cover that?
The short answer to the question is no, FECA would not preclude Title VII actions.
Let me begin with the first question, though.
Yeah.
Can you go to the Department of Labor and ask for compensation for that?
I believe that you can go forward under the FECA to
yes.
recover damages, but you can't. I think there's jurisprudence, and we didn't brief this at all, but I think there's jurisprudence, and I've read jurisprudence that talks about how you can't recover twice for the same injury.
You can't recover twice for the same injury.
Right.
I'll assume that for the moment.
Right.
But you can't. But the Department of Labor opinions do say that harassment is covered by FICA. So as a consequence, does that mean that somebody charging a Title VII for hostile workplace, hostile environment, cannot bring a Title VII case since it's covered by FICA?
Well, the answer to that is no. That same employee can bring a Title VII action.
When you say you couldn't split your claims, you didn't really mean that then. Your brief talks about it's not possible to split claims. You think it is possible to split claims?
Well, it's not possible to split a Privacy Act claim.
I'm sorry? Oh,
it's not possible to split a Privacy Act claim when those same claims are the claims that were brought before the Secretary of Labor for adjudication. These are the same injuries that were alleged before the Secretary of Labor that are alleged.
Is it possible to split a Privacy Act claim if you could think of a different injury?
Well, this is true, Your Honor. And an example would be if the government were to post medical information on the neighborhood trees or put them in cars just randomly around the town.
Yeah.
The workplace would not be involved. The locus of the injury would be in the community and not in the workplace.
What if they put it in the workplace, but the community found out about it?
Well, I believe that and it depends upon how it's pled and how the plaintiff presents the case.
Fair enough. So that's why I'm trying to get to the
yes.
splitting issue. So what if the plaintiff said, I suffered two injuries here.
Yes.
One, I was hurt by my fellow workers and their reaction. And two, I was hurt by my neighbors and their reaction. That person could then could go to FICA for the first and go to federal court for the second?
No, that's how it would work, Your Honor. I mean,
that's the government's view.
That is the government's view. With regard to injury that is in the workplace, where the locus of the injury, assuming an injury, where the locus of the injury happens in the workplace, FICA applies. Where the locus of the injury happens outside of the workplace, other laws would apply.
But if the locus of the injury is in the workplace, but it's a Title VII injury, FICA doesn't apply.
And for the reasons I stated.
Well, I'm not sure I understand that. I don't understand that at all.
Okay, I understand.
Why is Title VII different?
Well, I believe that...
Why is Title VII different than a Privacy Act?
Title VII is different than the Privacy Act precisely because we have jurisprudence that talks about, and I haven't brought the Title VII statute with me, so I can't quote from it directly, but the jurisprudence that I've read indicates that Title VII, which was enacted, and I think this is probably the slow collision of the confusion here, is that Title VII was enacted well after.
So is the Privacy. So is the Privacy Act. That's the problem here.
But the thing that alleviates the problem is the wording. I think in your colloquy with the appellant's counsel, you talked about how the word exclusive would assist you in understanding, you know, whether or not the FICA would overtake a particular statute.
Counsel, let me ask you: are you sure that the government has thought carefully about the answer to Judge Garland's question concerning the Title VII?
If I understand the question correctly, Your Honor, if the question is, does the Federal Employment Compensation Act preclude any Title VII actions from going forward?
Yes, I'm not sure.
Right.
Has the government clearly thought about what the interrelationship between Title VII and FICA is?
Well, we have discussed it at certain points, Your Honor, but I think that with regard to all the implications...
You want to clearly state
I understand your point. I can't state with conclusive effect what the position of the government is on those issues. And
That means I really have to worry about giving you the win here, because that could then be used by the government to claim that Title VII is preempted by a statute that was passed 90 years before Title VII, and specifically a statute, when you have Title VII, which was specifically addressed to federal employees and provides a whole set of remedies for damages, your view might be, you're telling me, in response to Judge Silverman's question, well, it's possible that Congress was all game, and Congress really meant that you had to go to the Department of Labor, and you can't bring Title VII cases anymore in federal court. If you're asking me to go that if that's a possible consequence of where we are today, I have to doubt seriously whether even you can win a case as narrow as this one.
I understand. 2 points, Your Honor. First, as Judge Silverman pointed out, and I didn't mean to imply this at all, my words were not meant to serve as the conclusive position of the government with regard to the interplay of Title VII and the Federal Employment Compensation Act. Within the context of this case, my only point was that in regard to wording and jurisprudence and a statute, Title VII has in its rhetoric and in its ambit the idea that it's the exclusive remedy for workplace discrimination. The Privacy Act does not. The Privacy Act just
doesn't say that. There are some cases that say that.
I understand that, Your Honor. And then that's exactly what I'm referring to.
Let me just ask one other thing. You don't actually care, or do you, what order these things happen, do you? So that if the person comes into federal court and hasn't, the way that most of your brief says, well, they went to the Department of Labor, they made their choice, they lost, and now they can't re-argue it here. They're precluded. But you have a little footnote which points out that at least some courts have said, in fact, many courts have said, that it doesn't matter which went first, that you can't go directly to federal court. You have to go to the Department of Labor first, right?
Yeah, it's not a choice of remedies, Your Honor. You're right, absolutely right. With regard to if the injury is assumed and the locus of the injury happened at the workplace, the Federal Employment Compensation Act precludes jurisdiction, regardless
of
whether.
Your view is that every Privacy Act case filed by a federal employee, a district court would first have to send them to the Department of Labor and find out what part of their injury was covered?
No, I don't think that is not necessary at all, Your Honor. I think that the district court looks at what the plaintiff has pled. If the plaintiff has pled the injury happened and the injury happened at the workplace, that is the admission that the district court.
But all injuries don't count, right? Only accidental injuries.
Well, I don't believe that is the wording of the definition of the word injury.
Because of the word include, you mean?
Because it indicates injury includes in addition to accident by injury.
Includes, yes, and then it tells you what the other things are. We obviously, we've talked about, yes, one more thing. What do you do with the election provision, which is 8116B? An individual entitled to benefits under this subchapter because of his injury, who also is entitled to receive from the United States under provision of another statute other than this subchapter, shall elect which benefits he will receive. Why doesn't that mean that they can go directly to federal court first? I appreciate that by going to the Department of Labor, maybe they elected,
yes,
and maybe he did elect in this case. But if instead he goes to federal court first, why isn't that his election?
I'm just reading the section you're saying.
That's okay. It's 8116B.
Yes. From my reading of this, and I was trying to read the entire context of that section, Your Honor, from my reading of this section, it indicates it does not, the choice isn't between the United States District Court and the Federal Employment Compensation Act. I didn't see that as being the choice that was set out here. I thought that as I read it, the choice is between.
It says, under a provision of a statute other than this subchapter. So that's obviously a statute not.
Yes.
And Privacy Act is certainly a statute other than this subchapter.
Is
that only for employees of the armed forces?
I mean, that as an employee of the armed, because of service by him, as an employee of the armed service, shall elect. Well, let me read what I have here. An individual entitled to benefits under the subchapter because of his injury or because of the death of an employee who also is entitled to receive from the United States under provision of the statute other than this subchapter payments or benefits for that injury or death because of service by him as an employee or in the armed service. Armed forces.
It's as an employee,
yes,
or in the armed forces. Do you think it means, I don't know. I would have read that as as a federal employee or as a member of the armed services. So I don't think that solves the problem. I thought it did for a moment, but it doesn't appear to. You don't know anything about this election section, huh? That's all right.
No, I don't, Your Honor.
It wasn't discussed in the briefs.
Yes, but, from my reading, it seems that that's dealing with the armed services.
No, it says as an employee or in the armed forces.
Right.
Yeah, all right. It goes to this question of...
Perhaps if it wasn't mentioned in the briefs, we don't have to focus on it.
Well, but what was mentioned in the briefs was your argument about the order. You have this footnote about that it may not matter what order these things are in.
Yes.
That's why I raised this question.
I understand that. But in this case, Your Honor, and if I could bring it back,
the
Secretary of Labor has made a determination.
I understand. All right, you're... Way over.
I'm way over.
9 minutes and 42 seconds.
We would ask that this court affirm the judgment of the district court.
Okay. Mr. Branch.
Thank you for your time, Your Honor.
Sure. Sorry? Yes, 2 minutes.
Your Honor, in terms of the history of this particular action, Ms. Scott initially filed a complaint with the office or filed a traumatic injury report in 2002. Before this incident occurred, arising from some other incident in the workplace. And then this incident occurred in January of 2003, and then she apparently filed a second traumatic injury report, and then I believe a third traumatic injury report. I think from the questions of the court, I think the real problem with the district court's decision is that it leaves open this issue of whether any type of injury in the workplace suffered by a federal employee would require that employee, whether it's Title VII or implicates Title VII or the Privacy Act, would require that employee first file a complaint or file a claim with FECA. And that is just, as the court seems to appreciate, that's just far too broad an interpretation. This FECA is swallowing up, could conceivably swallow up Title VII and the Privacy Act based on the government's position. Title VII and the Privacy Act should not be treated any differently. There's nothing to suggest that these acts should be treated any differently. They provide jurisdiction in the federal courts for federal employees to file complaints. The injury, the court had a question about the injury. Whether the injuries were basically the same. As I just mentioned, the injuries were not the same. She had a prior traumatic injury report filed with the Office of Workers' Compensation. Then this incident occurred, and she filed another traumatic injury report. So the injuries that were considered by the Office of Workers' Compensation are not the same injuries that she alleged in federal court in this complaint. Her complaint in federal court was limited to the incident that occurred in January 2003 and the harm and injuries that she suffered from that. So our position is that the district court's decision cannot stand, and it should be reversed.
Thank you, Mr. Branch. Case is submitted.